So, in a couple of weeks, we will be ending our liturgical year with the solemnity of Christ the King. This month has been leading up to that feast. The Gospels this week and the Masses we've been celebrating, such as the Feast of All Souls, the Feast of All Saints, and the Mass of Remembrance, have us thinking about the end of life. The Gospels of these weeks in November will culminate in that day's liturgy with the proclamation of Christ's crucifixion and his promise of everlasting life to the good thief and likewise to all of us. But about today, today and this month in general tend to be reflective. We think about the dead and, for some of us, about recent history. I have taken this time to reflect on another year lived, my first diaconal year, another year as a community in Christ, a year in the life of the living. And what a year it's been. I've been blessed to be with people at their times of great joy, their baptisms, their weddings, and their confirmations, and at times of great sorrow, like the memorial and death of a loved one. I've been blessed to see the peace in the face of a fellow deacon who was dying. I was blessed to see him before he passed. We lost two deacons from my class this year, the youngest and the oldest. And I've been truly blessed to see Christ in my brothers and sisters. I have also been incredibly blessed by the encouragement I have received from this community as I grow in ministry, but I've also been challenged to grow in my faith and my knowledge. And Wednesday was one of those times. I was leaving the reception after the Mass of Remembrance when a young man stopped me and asked a question. What will our bodies be like at the resurrection? Will we get our physical bodies back? Now, this is a perfectly appropriate question to be asking this time of year, really at any time, but it took me by surprise, especially since I hadn't prepared for this homily yet, and so I didn't know that the gospel readings were basically on resurrection. So the only answer I could give him at the time was, we will have glorified bodies, which came from the line in Philippians 3:21, he will change our lowly body to conform with his glorified body, by the power that enables him also to bring all things into subjection to himself. But my answer left me unsatisfied, and it really didn't satisfy him either. And part of that dissatisfaction came from my lack of knowledge on the subject. And my lack of knowledge in this area is really based on the fact that I don't spend a lot of time thinking about resurrection. About the only time I think about my resurrection, I think about Christ's resurrection a fair amount. But the only time I think about my resurrection is in some of the songs that we sing. You know, I know that my Redeemer will live, and I'll see God in his face, and all those things. But you know, maybe I should, but I don't. Maybe I should because it would prepare me for those sort of random questions you can get asked from what appears to be a fellow deacon, fellow future deacon, I should say. The other reason I don't spend a lot of time thinking about this is because for the longest time in my life, I was unconcerned with the hereafter, and therefore what life was like after the resurrection, right now was good enough for me. And even today, I don't do the right things out of a desire to build up treasures in heaven. I also don't avoid the wrong things out of an attempt to avoid hell. I do the right and avoid the wrong because the consequences of my right and wrong actions happen right here and right now. I'm convinced that one can be in hell right here on earth, but I'm also convinced that there are sublime moments in our existence here where we can feel a closeness of Christ and believe that life with Christ after Judgment Day is like those times. And I hope I end up with him. I don't think about resurrection a lot because Christ will be the judge of my soul, not me. It's out of my control. And while the church gives me all the support that I need to be a disciple of Christ, I, emphasis on me, can't guarantee my entrance into heaven. Only Christ makes that judgment. I am a sinner, and without Christ I am nothing. So the disposition of my body, or the disposition of my soul, or the resurrection of my body, are in Christ's hands, not mine. I do the work and have faith. Hopefully faith that approaches what we heard about in the first reading, but I know it doesn't. Those people were amazing. But, you know, just faith that even is a little bit like that. But I have faith and I leave the results up to Christ. So while I have no, I don't think about this a lot, I don't have an argument with anybody who does. You know, like the young man who asked the question. And part of this homily is an attempt to give him that answer. So it is with some amusement that I preach on the gospel, that I taught that on today's gospel having to do with resurrection. You know, in today's gospel, Jesus is a question about what things will be like at the resurrection. He is asked by the Sadducees, who deny that there is a resurrection, the question about to whom will the woman be married to? It should not be a surprise that Jesus answered the question about the state of things after the resurrection better than I can. Jesus points out that they are totally mistaken about the nature of eternal life, since the blessed will be like angels and will not be married. They are children of God. Jesus gave a much better answer, don't you think? You know, than blessed bodies or glorified bodies. So a commentary that I like, the Navarre commentaries, explains this well. He said the Sadducees came along to ask Jesus a question about that is apparently unanswerable. And according to the Levirate law from Deuteronomy, if a man died without issue, meaning without children, his brother was duty-bound to marry his widow to provide his brother with descendants. The consequences of this law would seem to give rise to the ridiculous situation at the resurrection of the dead. Jesus replies by reaffirming that there will be a resurrection and by explaining the properties of those who have risen again, that they'll be like angels and they'll be the children of God, the Sadducees' arguments simply evaporates. In this world, people marry in order to continue the species. After the resurrection, there will be no more marriage because people will not die anymore. So to my young friend, I will answer the question as such. St. Paul tells us something about what our body will be like from Philippians that I quoted earlier. He also writes about our bodies in 1 Corinthians where he says, So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable. What is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. However, I have to say most of our thinking about life, what life will be like after the resurrection, is pure speculation. Some just put it in the category of mystery. And even our great mystics don't have an answer for what the afterlife looks like completely. For example, St. John Vianney was once asked about the life hereafter, and he simply said, "I know nothing of tomorrow, except that the love of God will rise before the sun." And I think that answers it for me. If the mystics don't have an answer, who am I to have one? What I think we need to focus on and remember is what Christ told us at the Last Supper. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms, and I am going to prepare a place for you. And I'll end with some thoughts inspired by and quoted from the Association of Catholic Priests who have a commentary in today's gospel. The riddle the Sadducees use in today's gospel is exaggerated and humorous. But it was their way of setting the question about whether there is an afterlife and see how Jesus would respond. In the afterlife, we presumably will be free of the bodily constraints and appetites that are part of our present experience. We will all be like children in God's presence, fully complete in love, no longer needing what we need in this world. And you know, somehow there's an inherent resurrection hope within the human heart. This is why we ask questions like what it will be like. You know, will we have our bodies back? What will heaven look like? But nobody comes back and tells us the details of the afterlife. It is what Shakespeare so memorably called the undiscovered country from which no traveler returns. So, while that metaphor is useful, I think it falls short in a way. I think we can look at what life after resurrection is like even more hopefully, through the eyes of Isaiah and St. Paul. Paul rephrased Isaiah's words when he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, "What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered into the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him." Meaning, we can only imagine what God has in store for us, and no matter what we imagine, it will be better than that. Amen.
Amen.